farmers. U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman said today that he thinks it has been a good week for trade and the growth it supports in the United States. Critics counter that past trade agreements have actually cost the U.S. hundreds of thousands of jobs.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is James Helmsworth, Meredith Cox, and Eric Tegetoff. Special thanks to Chris Andre and Jamie Partridge. Our engineer is Matthew Olson. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Janka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Sari Gametha.
And I'm Jimmy Tardy. Coming up tomorrow on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Positively Revolting Talk Radio, Ani and Lynn discuss patriarchy, the war on women, and reproductive rights. At 9 on Political Perspectives, we present the state of affordable housing, influences, and tools for the future of our region, with speakers Justin Burry of the Community Alliance of Tenants, Omar Carrillo Tinayero of Neighborhood Partnerships, and Cameron Witten, community activist. At 10, Air Cascadia is off. We'll hear Flashpoint's investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 on the Digital Divide, Suzanne LeGrand presents part 5 of Stand Up City with a look at how the tech boom is changing Portland. Robert Fortner interviews Retraction Watch co-founder Ivan Oransky, and Rabia Yemen interviews Tom Schroeder, author of the controversial book Acid Test, LSD, Ecstasy, and the Power to Heal. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate your participation. Right now, we're talking with Joe Strupp of Media Matters. Joe, welcome to Union Edge.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Hey, appreciate it. Joe, you know, I got to tell you, Having a chair, you know, on Fox News, you get a lot of people out there listening to you and watching you, and having 400 and some odd radio stations that your daily radio program's on is pretty good reach too. I'm not sure Barack Obama had that. I'm not sure either one of the Bushes or even Bill Clinton had that when they were running for president. But it appears that Mr. Huckabee. Governor Huckabee really wants to, you know, stay on Fox and keep his radio show and get all that free publicity so he can run for president.
Yes, and the incident you're referring to, we put up a couple stories yesterday at MediaMatters.org. One was sort of honed in on this Washington Post story from November 12th that said Huckabee, who has a weekly show on Fox, that he was really stepping up the efforts to run for president. He was hiring staff, he was looking for donors, activists, and the Post, you know, Washington Post is no right or left wing, you know, they're a mainstream newspaper. They basically said they also said that his team is doing the best to, as they put it, finesse the planning of a potential campaign while trying to avoid losing his Fox platform.
Right.
And this is, he's, by all accounts, he's getting ready to run, and the question comes up, you know, should he be allowed to stay on Fox, where he not only gets paid to be a political commentator, but he also has a platform to promote himself. And we all know when you're dealing with candidates, you have to be very careful about who gets equal time, who gets, and also for the audience to know that what he's saying is not just strict political viewpoint. It's got to be couched in whatever candidacy he's going to have for president. And that brought up a lot of concern about whether he should keep his show. And that led to the stories we did and one I did talking to media ethicists and veterans who all pretty much agreed he can't do both.
You know, I have to tell you that I have a friend, Ron Klink, that was a congressman here in Pennsylvania. But before that, he was a weather reporter, I think it was. And he did talk radio. And I know that he had to give up the day gig to run for Congress. And I am thinking that there are actually, at least for Congress and the Senate, there's actually prohibitions that you can't be a talk show host for like 6 months prior or something like that. I'm not sure. But my thoughts are maybe Ron was told by the radio station that he had to give it up because. But yeah, this is troubling for me. This is, you know, this is absolutely troubling for me because what's to say, Fox News says, oh, wow, you know, we really like Mr. Huckabee. You know, he's really good. So we're going to have him on 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year on all of our markets. You know, it'd be nice if they could have a president in their pocket, huh?
Right. And it's also a lot of this is the slippery slope that cable news has come into. We've seen this before with Fox. They had Rick Santorum on the payroll, and he left. They
right.
had Newt Gingrich on the payroll, and he left when he ran. And then, but there have been other problems with people like Gingrich. We wrote about his position at CNN. He was on Crossfire, which is apparently no longer with us, or soon will not be. And he would not disclose his financial ties to certain groups that he was commenting on. We've seen this with Karl Rove in the Wall Street Journal. When he writes columns, he was not disclosing his ties to a PAC until we brought it up, and they sort of quietly did it. And at Fox, this is almost routine. And you start to think, well, what if MSNBC gave Hillary Clinton a show, and she was running for president, or she's probably in about the same situation as Huckabee, maybe even more obvious that she'll probably run. That wouldn't be accepted, and MSNBC wouldn't do that. So why is Fox doing it? And to their credit, they, after pressure from us and others, they apparently are reviewing his status. They put out some comments the other day that said they're looking into this. So we'll see. Maybe they'll eventually be forced to remove him or, you know, set the record straight and go to him and say, look, you know, you're doing all these things that indicate a potential run. What are you going to run or not? And if he says no, then they know. And if he says yes, or as some journalists I talked to said, if he either doesn't know or says yes, he should be removed. And another piece of this that people should know is Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, who's a very controversial Republican figure. He had been a Fox personality and contributor, and they recently removed him from their airs after he put out a long video that was basically promoting his candidacy. So it's not as though Fox, you know, doesn't know when to do the right thing. Sometimes they just don't choose to do it.
Yeah. And knowing and being willing to do are two different things.
Yeah, and I think they're going to have to end up doing it because it's getting so much attention, not just from us, but from people who know the media landscape. Their executive, Fox News executive Bill Shine, told CNN yesterday that they are taking a serious look at Huckabee. So you can take that for what it's worth. Maybe they're going to ease him out or at least be blunt about what he's doing. But, you know, this is almost basic media ethics. It's not some, you know, grand, controversial, complicated matter here. You have someone who's running for office who has this platform. You know, we used to have the equal time rule, which should still be followed to the sense that if you have someone who's running for president or any office, you either give everyone else the same platform or you say you have to cut ties. And this is, seemed to have been done more obviously in the past. You know, when Pat Buchanan ran years ago, he had been on CNN and on the McLaughlin Group, and he cut those positions early on in his candidacies, and then when he was done, he came back. So
yeah,
we'll see what they happen to do here. But it's sad that it takes this much pressure, and it's not kind of an obvious thing. And you can blame both Huckabee and Fox, I think, for not being upfront about it.
Yeah, and there's some other things going on within the radio industry. He's leaving a affiliate management company, and he's going out on his own. I think it's Westwood. And, you know, so it's this is very interesting all the way around. And I think personally that he's going to have to give up that radio program too.
Yeah, and by all accounts, it hasn't been doing well, the radio program. In some places and some not.
I mean, yeah, he could be on 450 radio stations, but if he doesn't have any advertisers,
right.
Somebody else is paying for it.
He was sort of the counter, you know, wasn't he sort of their counterattack to Rush Limbaugh or...
No, because, you know, he may not be calling 20-something young ladies' names, but still, it's a lot of venom. And that's another story.
It'd be interesting to see what kind of a chance he has in 2016. I mean, that, as you know, that Republican field is very unsettled.
Right.
And I don't know if they say Jeb Bush could get into it. And you would think he'd have a chance, but are people sick of the Bush name? You have other names, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz. I think those names maybe have been around too long.
Hey, Joe, you got breaking news. I'm gonna get into the Republican field this year.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
That would be breaking news.
Yeah, that would be.
I gotta say this though, Huckabee is a very interesting character because he comes off very friendly. He comes off very very calm, very kind of grandfatherly, but then when you hear what he says and you look at how he operates, it's a very subtle way to sort of hide a lot of his, I'll say, offensive and even controversial stances. And he's very good at that. He doesn't come out yelling and screaming and barn burning. He's very calm and reserved. But he still says things that are going to be critical. And he still has very much the right wing conservative Christian approach to a lot of things that is just difficult to accept.
You're absolutely right. Listen, Joe, we've got to get going. Joe Strupp of Media Matters. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. We appreciate your time in doing that. Right now, I am talking with Timothy Kama, who is with The Hill. Timothy, welcome to Union Edge.
Hey, Charles. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure, Tim. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. Listen, the president's over in China. Pretty quick, I was kind of shocked, got some concessions from the Chinese saying, you know, we'll cut back, we'll use some of those technologies to reduce air pollution, please send the stuff over here so we can, you know, we'll buy it, we'll use it. And they're also talking about, you know, doing some of those other things that we've been talking about here in the United States, but some of the people pushing back against it is saying, well, it doesn't matter if we do it, if the Chinese aren't doing it. I guess that kind of puts that argument to bed, huh?
In a way it does, yeah, Charles. And that's something that a lot of environmentalists and, you know, people who have been pushing back against the Republicans for a while said pretty quickly after this news came out, Tuesday night here in the U.S. Really what we've seen then is sort of a shift to... Now a lot of the top Republicans are saying, how do we know that China's going to live up to their obligations, or even, you know, China's not going to live up to their obligations? Either that or the other argument is that, the obligations that we put on China were not very strict, and, you know, sort of the U.S. got a raw deal here because China's only agreeing to cap their emissions in 2030. So from now until then, technically, they could just, you know, pollute as much as they want, cap at 2030, and then hopefully go down from there. So this isn't completely putting those arguments to rest. It's sort of changing those arguments in a way.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, well, the current administration cured cancer, but what'd they do for Alzheimer's?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, okay. All right. And my next question is as well, okay, what have you done? Yeah, that's what I thought. So, realistically, you know, anybody who, and I don't care, look, if Genghis Khan would have gone to China and got the concessions, I would have said, hey, all right. You know, that's a first step. We're moving in the right direction, at least.
Exactly.
You know, you didn't get the Bronx cheer from the Chinese premier. But So this is a first step. I mean, they're going to take the technologies. They're going to remediate the mercury and all the rest of it. And you know, we're going to have to eventually get to that carbon sequestration. And, you know, you sequester the carbon either by capturing it, you know, chemically, or capturing it in its gaseous form, or you plant a lot of trees. But we got to do something about that, too. Those follow-on steps, what are people talking about doing now?
Well, that's, you know, that's going to have to come at some point, probably, because, you know, for China at least, they're still building a new coal-fired power plant. I believe it's about every 10 days or so. So, mm-hmm. So they're going to have to find some way, once they reach that cap in 2030, to start either sequestering carbon or you know, stop growing coal or something like that. But really, you know, coal is still the cheapest energy source in the world. It's the most widely used in most large countries, including China and including the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So this technology is probably going to have to come online in a commercial way pretty soon. We're not there yet, though. It's still not commercially ready, not commercially available. But there's a lot of demonstration projects going on. A lot of federal funding is going into that for this very right. reason that you know, coal is going to be around for my lifetime at least.
Oh yeah,
and, you know, there's no way to get around that. So you're right. Yeah, this does need to happen at some point soon.
Now let me ask you a question. You know, we've got China, you know, at least clustering the same direction. Okay, and that's uh-huh. a good thing. And yeah, I know they can stop. They